excited to be here. Last year, during our retreat, our women went to the mountains. They do that every so many years. But I had just had a baby a few days before, so I did not go to the mountains. So, yeah, so we have a one-year-old baby boy. And you know what's funny is this time around, I feel like my other kids, when they turn one, that was so sad. They're already one. And this time I looked at my husband, I'm like, we did it. We made it through the first year. And now I'm like, this is more about us. Should it be, right? Sorry. Hi there. We're a little older this time around, so I was like, whoa, we did this. But I am so happy to be here, and I am loving Missy. We get Missy in our group, you guys. So I've been loving what Missy is saying, and I think though, like, maybe next time, I've known for a while you're talking about pride, and I feel like for the last several months, God keeps showing me pride, you know, like, I don't want to know the topic next time, but, I mean, at the same time, it's been so good. I feel like he's been preparing our hearts if we've known about it, and now you've given us so much information to think about, so we have a lot to go home and go through. I know some of you are from other churches or you're friends with people here, so some of you don't know me, so I'll just say a little bit about myself. Most of you do know me, but my husband Andrew is the associate pastor here at Hickman, and we've been here for 5 years now, which seems crazy, and we have 4 kids. We have 2 girls and 2 boys. So, and somehow my husband is letting me homeschool them. And like, I will just say really like not intelligent things sometimes, and we just laugh and look at each other and we're like, I don't know how I'm doing this, by God's grace. Like, they are actually learning and growing. And so that's been a fun adventure, a very humble adventure that I never planned on. But also something about me is I love asking questions. And I love getting to know people and what God has done in your life. So our topic is living in community with humility. But before we dive into this, I really want us to have some discussion, because these workshops, I think that's what that's about. It's us hashing these things out. So I want to ask some questions, and feel free to answer. I want to hear from you right now. Okay, so there has to be a reason that you chose this topic, unless you're my mom. Okay? But for the rest of you, there's a reason why you wanted to hear about this topic. So, my first question to you, why do women want community? What would you say to that?
Friendship.
Okay.
Fellowship.
Support. Because we don't want to be alone, right? Do you notice, I have 2 girls, right? When they turn about 4, they realize, I need a friend. And then, have you ever had it, if you have a daughter, you don't have to teach her, you go to the bathroom with your friends. I see this at church, like, they're little girls, and then they shove into the one stall together and have this full conversation with each other. Like, you don't have to teach women, you go to the bathroom together. You talk in the bathroom, you know? Like, there's something built in us that we want to be with each other, and we don't want to walk life alone. I think that's scary to us. So we naturally want community. So, okay, we know we want community. We don't want to walk alone. Where would you say women find community?
In family.
Where else these days do you think?
I think workplace.
Workplace. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think people use social media to fill community. I don't know if I would necessarily say that's actually community, but they try, like, with social media.
I think it is.
And yeah. I wanted to touch on that, because I'm not saying for or against it, but I've noticed in my own life, if I'm on social media a lot, I feel like this false sense of, like, fellowship. like, oh, I've interacted with people today. And maybe I haven't. This is like on Instagram or something, you know. And people are even finding their friends through that. So it's not even like they have local friends. They just have this online community.
I know there's a big thing of, you know, like women working out together. That,
okay.
You know, they like to do, they all go to the gym.
They all go to the same gym. And yes.
Put the children in childcare and work out together.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that could be their
community.
Main community. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I've noticed women that don't have the church body go to bars, mm-hmm. and they get their sense of community in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of that.
Okay. Could be like even sports. Oh, yes. Did you have one?
Well, she brought up the social media thing, and I've stayed away from it deliberately on all of it because I can't stand it. But to me, it is a false sense of friendship because there is no touching, there's no eye contact. You can put anything you want on there, you know. It's just, to me, am I wrong in that thought? Because I really, someone says, oh, well, I'll email you or I'll Facebook. I'm like, okay, we're done. Bye. It's a total turn off and shut down for me.
Yes. No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think too many people, men and women, fall into that, and they're like, oh, I've got time to email, and we'll see what my friend... No, that's not human contact.
Right.
You know, well, to piggyback on what she's saying,
yeah.
I totally see in Facebook or whatever where you read about everybody's life on Facebook,
yeah.
and you go to church, and you never ask them any questions.
Because you know.
You see them, and five pages of Facebook goes filtering through your head
yeah.
with all the pictures and what's going on in their life, and so you don't ask them how you're doing, because you already know.
Again, like, you the know. Lack of human contact.
Yeah.
I think people find community, like, with... like their children, like if their children have
sports.
Yeah. or like the mom club, like that whole thing, like it's like if you have kids then you're automatically like you have something in common, so
mm-hmm.
then so like through I guess like commonality people find community.
Kids,
I was
sports.
About that the other day,
mm-hmm.
that when you're in school you have friends in the classroom, your friend, you know, you have your friends,
mm-hmm.
but then once you're out of school, you don't have that pool to...
Mm-hmm.
And then your own kids get big enough, and pretty soon your friends are their friends' mom and dad, you know?
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
through your kids that you...
Yeah. So there's lots of places we can find community. I think we'd all agree, like, everyone is seeking community these days. I would even say that it's become, like, a trendy word. To find your tribe, you know, and people say that. They don't want to walk life alone, and they want it to be connected to a group to walk with. But what I would say is Christian women, our main community should be in the church, and the church should meet that need. Obviously, we're going to have these other groups that we're a part of and that we can minister to people, but our main community, the people that know us the best, should be in the church. So today I want to encourage us all to live out this community in Christ. So we're going to talk about that more. But first, let's just go to the word community. Let's just talk about what does that mean. And the dictionary defines it as a unified body of individuals. So it's a group of people coming together that are unified over something. And for us, because we've been saved by God and have faith in Christ, we are unified as sisters in Christ, right? In Galatians 3, 26 through 28, it says this, and it explains it so perfectly. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." So all these other ways that we have been unified in the past don't matter anymore when we come to know the Lord. And then we are unified with other believers because we're all one in Christ Jesus. So when I think of community, the unity that we have, I automatically think of all the one another's in the Bible.
but there's about 60 of them in the Bible. But right away, the one that stands out the most to me is in Galatians 6:2. So if you brought your Bibles over from the other room, go ahead and turn there. Galatians 6:2. We have been studying Galatians in our women's Bible study this semester, and it's been such a blessing. But for those of you that maybe haven't thought about Galatians for a while, let me just give you just a brief summary of what the letter is about. Paul had gone to the Galatians, and he had given them the gospel, and they received it joyfully and were changed. And then he left, and the Judaizers came in and said, oh, it's the gospel, but it's also living by the law. And so he writes this letter to them, and he's very bold, and he's not as warm as he normally is in his other letters at the beginning, and basically saying, what are you doing? Like, why would you go back to being a slave to the law, you know, when you've been set free from that? And so he really challenges them on that, and you can tell he's frustrated with them, like, what are you doing with your life here, and why are you doing this? And then it gets to the end of the letter, and now he's saying, that is not what the Christian life should look like, and this is what the Christian life should look like, and he talks about walking in the Spirit. So I just want to give us kind of the context for this scripture, but I want to start reading in Galatians 5:25, and then we'll go down to 6:3. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So we're just going to look at 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Does anyone have a tissue? My nose is kind of running right now. Do we have one in here? And I'll be sniffing the whole time.
I don't know if that's 100% clean. I was trying to help.
No, I can't. Thank you. Sorry. Is this yours? Thank you. Okay, so Galatians 6:2 is what we're looking at. And I want to just kind of break that apart. So let's just talk about, so it's bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So let's talk about the word bear. That means carrying something, but not just for a little while. It's carrying something with endurance. So it's not carrying something for the sprint. It's about carrying it for the marathon. And obviously, I'm still like in baby mode. So when I think of carrying something with endurance, I think of how many of us have carried children in our womb for many months, and you get to like maybe 6 months, and you're like, oh, I need to be done now, and you still have a while to go, and it takes endurance on a day-by-day basis to get through that. So carry something with endurance, but to bear is also this really beautiful picture of holding each other up. And in Ecclesiastes 4:9, let's turn there, because this just is so, it's so good how it is said in this verse. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But listen to this. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Mm-hmm. And I just love that picture of, yes, we're to help each other carry things with endurance, but we're also to hold each other up. So that's what to bear means. But burdens, what are those? And burdens are just things that are too difficult to carry. And it makes me think of Pilgrim's Progress, because my kids are really into the kids' version of that. Which, don't see the new movie if your kids are little. That is scary, okay? I was covering my kids' eyes. But anyways, it's a great story. But it makes me think of Christian with that backpack on, that he's carrying all those burdens and through this whole story until, you know, he's saved, and it's just so difficult for him to get through the path with that on him. So burdens are just heavy things that are too difficult to carry. So when we look at that and we read this verse in its context, we see that this is actually, it's more than just finding a person's need and meeting it. Like, that, those are good things to do. You know, if someone has a baby, bring them a meal. If someone's moving, you know, help them out with that. If someone's in the hospital, visit them. Those are good things. Those show that we love them, that we want to serve them. But this is going a bit deeper. Because in 6:1, it starts talking about pointing out sin in people, or if they're in sin, coming alongside them and talking to them about that. So this is talking about sin. So I am to bear with you when you sin, when you're tempted to sin, and when you're caught in sin. And if we're truly living in community, then we should be confessing our sins to one another and gently pointing out sin in one another. And this will make us aware of what each other are tempted by and what we struggle with and what our weaknesses are. So once we know these things about each other, then we're able to help each other carry it. So what could this look like? This could look like so many things. I just wanted to kind of hash out a few different ideas of what this could look like to bear each other's burdens. It could be praying with you in a time of temptation. It could be spending time with you so you don't choose to sin or are not tempted to sin. It could be studying the word together to help you hide God's word in your heart, to fight whatever sin you're dealing with. It could be watching your kids so you can just go draw near to God and be refreshed in that season. It could be taking you to the doctor for that scary test or surgery and helping you trust in God in that situation. It could be going to court with you during a heartbreaking divorce or child custody battle and helping you hope in the Lord. And those are good situations to think through. What does this look like? But really, when I was really thinking about it, it's like, it's really just living alongside each other through the highs and lows of your sin, when you have victory and when you're struggling. And really walking alongside that person, even when their sin affects you or affects people that you love. And that's hard. It's really just getting into the trenches with you to do battle against your sin. And a few years ago, I started, read this book. I finished it. I finished the whole book, you guys. And I love anything by Ed Welch. He's a biblical counselor, and I really enjoy how practical he is. And this is called Side by Side, Walking with Others in Wisdom and Love. And it's so helpful in this whole idea. And this chapter, I just want to read the beginning of it. It's called Help Fellow Sinners. It's totally what we're talking about here, that we need each other. And he says this, listen. He says, this much is clear. Sin is our most dangerous problem. The Spirit, the Word, and the community are God's primary means of doing battle with sin. Though we prefer to live and let live when it comes to sin, we know that God has called us to help one another face our sins. Human beings flourish when we do battle with sin rather than to surrender to it. Then he quotes Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Sin is best raised in the context of faithful friendships, where hardships have been shared and friends have prayed with each other. And I just love how he points out community, how we would rather just let sin live and let live and not deal with it. But the best place for us to deal with those things are in faithful friendships, where we share those things with each other. But if we look at the second part of Galatians 6:2, so it's bear one another's burdens, but then it says, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And I don't want us to miss this part, because I think this is what brings the true joy in bearing one another's burdens. Because the law of Christ is loving God and loving others, right? And so wrap your mind around this. When we do this, we get to be like Christ, who bore our sin on the cross. And I think that's why when we get to do this, it's not easy. But don't you see those times in your life when you get to reflect Christ in some small way? The joy that comes from that is like nothing else, right? And it's so worth it, whatever you have to go through. But Lehman Strauss says this about this verse. He said, Christians are burden bearers. I think that's good. We should think of ourselves as that. We're burden bearers. And while we cannot bear the burden of sin as Christ bore it, we can share his warm-hearted and sympathetic interest in others. And I just love that. And I'm scared that Christian women are being satisfied with so much less these days. And I saw this recently in a documentary. Andrew and I really enjoy watching those. And we were watching one like several months ago. And it's about a lady. She claims to be a Christian, and she's written some books. And I would say she's more like a motivational speaker. But it was one of her conferences that she does. And so we're watching this, and I thought, this will be interesting to see what appeals to these women. And it was like a couple hundred women. And they did this one exercise where they all got a piece of paper with a full page of like yes and no questions, like hard questions, but you just circle yes or no. And they said, okay, fold it up, pass it in front of you, then pass it to the side, then pass it over here. So you have no idea where your paper, but it's all anonymous, your paper ended up somewhere among these women. And they said, okay, we're gonna read the question, and then if your paper that you now have says yes, you're gonna stand up. So just standing up for this thing. And women came out of this bawling and just so moved that someone would stand up for them, you know? And it made me so sad, because I was like, obviously this woman has never experienced true community. And some woman that she doesn't even know, that's not even in her life, stood up for her. And as sisters in Christ, we are to be holding each other up. You know, and it was just such a shallow picture of what women think is meeting that need that it is not. And I don't want us to be satisfied with that. So I want us just to think through now, after looking at this, think through a few things here. Because I think after hearing all this, you kind of land in three different camps. So I want to speak to each of those and encourage you wherever you're at in this. The first camp, I would say, is you may have relationships like this, but you're like, I have this, I love it, but I gotta keep it going. I feel like that's where I'm at. And I think there's just seasons where it's hard to pursue those people that you have confessed into and that do know what you struggle with. Sometimes we can back away, right? We make excuses and we're like, I just confessed something last week. I cannot tell her something else this week. I will look so pathetic. She doesn't have time to hear another thing from me. She doesn't have time to bear this. We can make all these excuses, right? And I think this is where humility comes in, to say it doesn't matter. We don't need to make excuses. We need each other, right? And I thought of this scenario, and this kind of helped me see how ridiculous I am when I make excuses to not pursue these relationships. So think of this, okay? Your house is on fire. The flames are rising, the smoke is building up, and you're like, I'm not going to call the fire department. We can just manage this. We'll get the kids out. We'll get the garden hose. Because, I mean, they probably just put out a fire. They're probably tired. I'll get it out. And then once it's out, I'll call them and I'll tell them, don't worry, you know, had a fire, but I took care of it. We would never do that. We would never hesitate to call the fire department in an emergency, right? But that's what we tend to do. We make excuses, right? We make excuses. Oh, I can't confess this. Or I don't want to confess this. Or I don't want her to ask me how I'm doing in this certain area that she knows. And then we kind of pull through that season. And then the next time we're hanging out, we're having coffee together, we go, oh, yeah, I was struggling a couple weeks ago, but I'm good now, you know? I pulled through, I'm good. And so you more want to share, like, once you've seen, like, some growth or victory. And that's our pride. We cannot let our pride take over. Like, when we are in sin or tempted with sin, the house is on fire. And God has sovereignly put people in our lives to help us with that. And we must be humble enough to take that. So that's for the first camp, where maybe you have these kind of relationships in your church, but you're like, I gotta keep going. I can't make excuses. I gotta keep pursuing these relationships. Or maybe you're in the second camp of, hey, I see from God's word, I need these kind of relationships. I want these kind of relationships, but I don't know where to start. And I think as women, we can do that. When something seems overwhelming, we're just like, kind of put it off because we're like, we don't know where to start with that. So if you don't know where to start, I first ask, do you know just a sin that a sister struggles with in your church? And also, let's think about this. This doesn't normally happen after church on Sunday. You don't normally have these kind of conversations, right? Like, maybe sometimes you can, but normally those are just quick little conversations. So we have to invest time in our sisters outside of church, right? And this is where humility comes in too, because we have to be humble enough to think of others and to realize if we're struggling, they're struggling, and we want to know what their struggles might be. We also have to think practically about this. We can't do this with every woman in our church, nor should we, like, be confessing sin to every woman in our church. So we need to think, who are some women that are growing in the Lord that I can trust, that will sharpen me, that will speak truth in my life, and a few of them. And maybe you form a small group that you meet with them once a month for this specific reason. Let's really talk about what's going on in our lives. And maybe it looks like that. So I'd say for you that you see you need it, you want it, that's where I would start and pray that God would give you those women in your church. So either you have it, you want to keep going, you see you need it, but you don't know where to start, or maybe you still need to be convinced that you really need these kind of relationships in your church. And I would just say, we know God's word is true and it never changes, and I would just go back to these passages and pray over them and get counsel about it, and just really ask God to open your eyes to his truth and see where you go from there, because we do need it, and God's word shows that. So those are just some things to think about wherever you are in this, and hopefully encourage you. But I'm so glad that we were able to talk about community in Christ today. I truly believe this is like one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life. And I remember being at a New Year's Eve party several years ago, and they were talking about just the highlight of their year. And what automatically popped in my mind was just not some big event or some life-changing thing. It was simply the joy I had from walking alongside certain women in the church through the joys and trials of their life that year. It's truly like the greatest highlight, and I think that can be for us, and it's such a blessing that we can even do this for each other. So I pray that we can all grow in this way, and just be a beautiful picture of Christ, living out this community with humility. So I think I'll just close us in prayer. If you have any questions, I mean, this is the greatest thing to talk about amongst yourself now, rest of the day. And yeah, I hope that you do that. If I haven't been clear on anything or there's any questions, I would love to talk to you about any of this. But I just encourage you to talk to each other about it. I think throughout the day too, it would be really good. So just remember, we didn't have to learn to go to the bathroom together, okay? So we know now that we still need women and that we need to pursue those relationships. So, okay, I will pray for us, and then I believe we head on to lunch, so you can kind of go back in that direction. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I just praise you for this time that we can just stop with all the busyness of life and be with our sisters in Christ, God. This is such a treasure and such a blessing. Help us all to just be so aware of how good you are to us today, to let us do this, and just continue to show us truths from your word and have them impact our hearts, cut our hearts, and impact our lives, Lord. And help us to be able to sharpen one another today and encourage each other and spur each other on. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen.